Welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Tony Flynn.
And I'm Kevin Decker, and you're listening to the only radio program that also has an unseen visual component to it, which is one of the things that we pride ourselves on here. The visual component is just asking the listener to stare at their radio or telephonic device.
So I thought you meant it was because I had a bag over my head and couldn't see anything.
Oh, well, there's that too. I mean, you sound pretty clear for somebody with a bag over your head.
Well, so I have a little mouth hole in my bag, but if you told me there was a visual component, years ago I would have taken the bag off my head.
Yeah, well, you know, people have been enjoying that part.
I feel let down, Kevin.
I think at the...
Can I take the bag off now?
Yeah, you should take the bag off. Although, if we receive...
Ah, my eyes!
What was in that bag?
I don't know, but...
Urchins!
Light.
Oh, I see.
I haven't seen sunlight in a long time.
I see.
Oh, I'm relieved. I'm going to keep the bag off my head for the entire future run of Men in Charge.
That's good.
Thank you, Kevin.
Although, if we do receive an award for this, I think you should put it on at the ceremony.
So people
recognize you.
For the well-being and happiness of the audience, I will obscure my visage.
So today's episode, listener, or indeed listeners, is entitled Fortune Favors the Mold. A truer word was never said.
Wait, the? Is that the truer word?
Fortune favors the mold. Yes, the truer word.
Yeah, single out the article for a special emphasis.
A and an we have no use for, but the is the true word.
And we do feel... We, as the populace of non-men in charge people, that you've got it wrong, Kevin. Shouldn't it be fortune favors the bold? Explain.
Well, that of course is what bold people like to say. But in fact, when we ask ourselves what happens at the end of their bold career, well, they're put into the ground and the mold wins out.
Yeah. Or even if they're cremated at community cremation, mold covers the ashes too.
I got to tell you, I know we have an upcoming episode called Community Cremation, but I love the idea of community values organizing the cremation process.
And right.
That tight, close-knit feeling that people have.
A lot of people get together to cremate you.
Right.
Sort of like a lottery.
I think that we need to look back at the history of some familiar sayings that have been changed to kind of deflect attention away from mold. Like, for example, in for a penny, in for some mold.
That's true.
That's been changed since then.
Yeah, everything begins with mold. I think that's your point.
Yeah, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full of mold, sir. You know, that sort of saying has been changed.
That sort of saying. Let's remember the category of saying there. Yeah, and the mold is pervasive. It gives us that healthy green sheen as we, you know, are reminded of our mortality.
Yeah. Or if you're lucky, black mold. And that means that if you're exuding that from your corpse, then you can take other people down with you.
Right. It's sort of a community operation.
Yeah. Again, we come back to the fact that death is really a community event. We support each other in that, through that.
Right.
Or in that.
We support, we inflict. It's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about sketches for today, shall we?
We have them, yes. We have three pre-award winning segments.
We do. These are all new. We have not just taken old sketches and taken clips out of them and rearranged them in a random order.
The first one, it's a new tradition on Men in Charge that we're just starting out. Kevin and Tony invite your mom to breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And we have a specific listener whose mom we're inviting to breakfast in what the basement of the Men in Charge Citadel.
Basement/dungeon.
Right. And so we call up the listener and we let them know that that mom is invited, that mom is here. And things kind of go downhill from there.
Yeah, because naturally we're trying to exact the kind of generous tribute from the son of your mom.
That's right. So keep those phone lines clear for that.
Because it
for
could be your mom.
It could be. It could be. You might be surprised.
You might be.
It occurs to me, Tony, some people might intentionally not call in and say, well, you know, we knew it was going to happen to mom eventually.
Right. Nothing we could do. Yeah, that's done.
That's it. Where's the will?
That's really cheerful.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I hope my mother doesn't hear this. After that, let's just move along. We have a sketch which I believe the full title is Internecine Strife in the Cornish Game Hen Factory.
A Cornish Game Hen Factory, and there's been a coup, or coop if you mispronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
And a new game hen is rising to run the factory and decide, how the game hens are going to be butchered, shrink-wrapped, and delivered.
Yeah.
It's a compelling political story that hits so close to home, it hits your home.
It really makes you think what the idea of freedom, particularly freedom to be butchered in more efficient ways, what it really means in America today.
Yeah, the new America.
In the new America.
Also, we learn more about the nature of factory poultry.
Also, how Cornish game hens are a completely manufactured category of fowl. They didn't really exist before somebody said, let's create a small, portable version of a chicken.
Right. It is a version of a chicken, neither Cornish nor game nor even hen necessarily.
Right.
But then, Kevin, we go on to some serious Kafka-esque drama, don't we?
That's right. It's a sketch called Traffic School Day 10. And for all those people who have been to Traffic School Day 1, you know that if you multiplied that by 10, you would be in hell, basically, and that's what these folks are.
Yeah, take a bad experience and stretch it out.
That's right. The vending machines are now empty. The instructor comes in late, about an hour late every day, and you can do nothing about it. And that's it.
Right, and you're surrounded and directed by people with what we like to call room temperature IQs.
But fortunately, as the traffic school instructor points out, there's a Arby's and a Hardee's and a KFC and a McDonald's and a Dick's right down the street.
The best of American cuisine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to a new segment of Men in Charge we're calling Kevin and Tony Invite Your Mom to Breakfast. And an especially big hello to Mr. Bisbee Buckley of 221A Nambyham Road right here in Lower Heights, because it's your mom that Tony and I invited to breakfast here in the basement of the Men in Charge Citadel. Stay by the phone, Bisbee, and wait for our call. And that's Tony right now bringing in your mother.
Get off of me, whoever you are!
What's all this, Tony? What did you do? Kidnap Mrs. Buckley? Anyway, welcome to Sunday Morning Breakfast with Kevin and Tony. We're delighted to meet you, of course.
Take off the damned hood!
No, I didn't kidnap her. Well, technically I did. And legally. But it was your idea, remember, Kevin?
I never said a word about kidnapping, Tony. And Mrs. Buckley, we've been so looking forward to this morning.
Yes, you did too, Kevin. Remember when we were discussing abduction?
You mean as in abductive reasoning, as opposed to deductive or inductive reasoning?
Exactly, Kevin. Abduction, as opposed to induction and deduction. The logical inference made when there's insufficient information to arrive at a fully grounded conclusion. We look for the most obvious answer and choose that one. I reasoned abductively, just as you suggested. I inferred that kidnapping or abducting Mrs. Buckley to bring her to breakfast was the most expedient path. But you didn't tell me she'd put up such a fight. She hurt my shoulder. You're going to hear from my attorney, lady.
I also didn't tell you to kidnap her.
As I just explained, you did too. I admitted your mistake. You should be willing to do the same.
Oh, stupid hood! Finally!
Wow, Mrs. Buckley, you wriggled out of those men in charge handcuffs all by yourself. Could you show Tony and me how to do that later? That skill could come in mighty handy in our line of work.
Well, that just tears it, Mrs. Buckley. Not only did you hurt my shoulder when I was trying very patiently to put that hood over your head, but now you hurt my feelings by getting out of the handcuffs.
What?
I think maybe Tony has a point, Mrs. Buckley. Look at him. He feels terrible. This is his first attempt at abductive reasoning, after all, and I don't think he's kidding about lawyering up.
I can't believe I'm saying this. All right. I'm sorry I hurt your shoulder and ruined your first kidnapping. I'm sorry I ruined your first abductive inference.
You're forgiven.
I do have to give you a little credit, I suppose. The lawn chair, the uncorked bottle of sparkling rosé, the tray heaped lavishly with Melba toast and brie, right there on the floor of the van. Well, isn't that what Sunday mornings are all about? No wonder I jumped in without a thought.
Well, it's hard to make a black windowless van look inviting. I went to a lot of trouble to make it seem welcoming.
Again, I'm sorry. I'm very appreciative. By the way, where is that bottle?
I'll go get it.
While Tony fetches the bottle of rosé, why not help yourself to this lovely omelet of robin's eggs? They're quite the prize, too. Robin moms put up quite a fight when you try to take their eggs fresh from the nest.
Well, okay, sure. But do you have a little something I could put into my coffee? My little flask is empty. Thanks.
While Mrs. Buckley is distracted with a big plate of songbird albumin, we'll take a moment for our contractually required product placement announcement. This portion of Kevin and Tony Invite Your Mom to Breakfast is brought to you by the New America brand Grab'em and Tag'em Abduction Kit. When you need something somebody else has, but you're too shy to ask for it, just grab 'em and tag 'em, and your abductee will hand over whatever it is you want without a word. Remember, in the new, more Christian America, the Lord helps those who help themselves.
Okay, here's your bottle, and here's another one just in case. I knew Kevin would give her the robin's eggs. Nothing but Cheerios for me. Again. Kevin, isn't it time we actually started this segment? Let's call this Bisbee Buckley character and tell him we've got his mom. I mean, that we invited his mom for breakfast.
Good idea.
Hello, you've reached our landline, which we never answer because we just use it for cable, which we'll be quitting soon, and for calling our cell phones so that we can find out where we put them
down.
That
doesn't sound like a man's
voice. So don't bother calling again, because there's no point. We don't check for messages. And I am a man, by the way.
Listener Buckley, we're here with your mom. We invited her for breakfast. She's really enjoying herself, having a robin's egg omelet and everything. So could you blog about Men in Charge, please? Over.
Kevin, you don't say over when you leave a voice message. These aren't walkie-talkies.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Never mind about over, Listener Buckley. That was a mistake. Just blog about Men in Charge, okay? Then we'll talk about your blog on our show. So it'll be win-win, right?
Okay, then. Mission accomplished. Mrs. Buckley, it's time to take you home.
Wait, wait, wait. The second rosé bottle's uncorked already. If we don't finish it off, it'll just go to waste. Come on, boys, sit down and drink up.
That's all the time we have for Kevin and Tony Invite Your Mom to Breakfast. And remember, when you have no idea what you're doing, reason abductively. Tune in next week when you'll hear me, Kevin, say, come on, Mrs. Buckley, it's been a week. You have to go home. The new mom will be here in just a minute.
Men in Charge, the real reason that Germany and France, and not Belgium, control the European Union.
Good evening, listeners. I'm ACE reporter Manfred Shelby, here outside the gates of the Monsanto Cornish Game Hen Factory. The game hens are all aflutter because, yes, it's election night. If you've been following the news, you'll know that since the coup that brought down the old management team, the game hens have decided to run their own factory. Tonight, they're electing a leader from their own ranks, the excitement is thick as a cream sauce with extra cornstarch, and the feathers are flying. I'm sending in an aerial drone now so that you listeners can see the election results as they happen.
If I win this election, things are going to be different in this factory. Right now, this place is a disaster. The antibiotics they pump us with still leave us prone to diseases. Do we want to lower the factory's market share by poisoning our customers? No! When I'm your president, we are going to be pumped with the best antibiotics. Time to slaughter is going to be cut in half, maybe cut in quarters, okay? And trust me, the white meat is going to be separated from the dark meat.
He's talking brack about getting us, you know, brack shrink-wrapped even faster.
What's the matter with you? Afraid of a little shrink-wrap?
Actually, I was using an ironic euphemism.
So you're making fun of me? Throwing college words around? Hey, this hen here is making fun of us. Like she went to hen college or something.
Enough of that crap. Throw that hen out of here and don't be gentle.
I'd love to go, Brock, but you do realize that we're in a walled factory, Brock, and game hens aren't built to unlock doors, Brock, much less the cages we're pressed into. So good luck, Brock, Brock.
Yeah, well, things are going to be different under my administration. Better antibiotics, stronger cages. The future belongs to us Cornish game hens. Believe me.
The future belongs to us.
Sure it would, Brock, if we hens were from Cornwall or lived in the wild, or had some sort of anatomical gender indicators. Brock, we're hybridized chicken product.
That's sucker talk. We're all hens. At least I'm a hen. And we're all from Cornish. Where are you from?
Brock, this cage! And you're from that cage.
I heard some hens saying that we're not in cages at all. Just look around. We're in enclosures. That's where we are. So we're from enclosures, and we want to keep the hens from cages out of here.
I'm sure you don't mean to be an idiot.
Of course I do. And under my administration, we're going to be the purest hybrids, 100%. No Chinese game hens will be able to touch our 100%-ness. We'll be the highest rated game hens in the world. We'll fly off the shelves.
Right. No more being flightless and caged. We'll fly when we die. Well,
fly when you die.
Okay. Fly when you die. Fly when you die.
Hi, listeners. Ace reporter Manfred Shelby, still here outside the gates of the Monsanto Cornish Game Hen Factory, and I'm here with the new leader of the Monsanto Cornish Game Hen Factory. Mr. / Ms. Game Hen President, congratulations. But shouldn't you be back inside the factory with the other game hens getting ready to be slaughtered, plucked, rinsed, shrink-wrapped, frozen, and shipped?
Ha! That's a laugh. No way. Somebody has to stay behind and run things, right? Am I right? Ha! Losers.
Welcome on board the Men in Charge bus. There's just one clean seat left, so sit down and shut up.
Is this your first traffic school?
Yeah, you can only do it once. But I've got a friend who just shows up for classes when he hasn't done anything. I think he wants to meet women.
When is this class ever going to end? What is this? Day 8? 9?
Day 10?
Oh, Lord. I lost a whole weekend there. I might cry.
This is my first traffic school here in Lower Heights. I've been through it back in La Jolla, but there, they just give you a pamphlet about safe following distances, throw you a towel, and you have to do public service on the beach.
What kind of public service?
You lay on the beach. Well, you lay on the towel on the beach.
And how do they know when you've fulfilled your debt to society?
When you work your way through the sunscreen dispensers until you get down to SPF 40, dude.
Seriously, though, when are we done with our vehicular re-education?
I don't think we'll ever know. He keeps asking questions, and when we get them wrong or don't answer, he says we failed an audio pop quiz and tells us we're set back, right?
All right, all right. That's enough of this jawboning here. I'm your traffic school instructor, Sergeant Coors.
We know.
I know.
And I gotta call the roll.
Oh, jeez.
Now, and if they would just put the sign-in sheet where a man could find it. Anyway, I've got the list of everyone supposed to be here. Signal when you hear your name. Okay, let's see here. I just got this list off the dot matrix printer. Let's see. Chip Richmond. Here.
And by the way, I already signed in. Lori Wenger.
Here, also signed in.
Beatrice Modigliani.
How much practice do you need? Oh, I also signed in already.
Alfred Torres.
Here, and I'm right by the sign-in sheet and clipboard. Here, we're all on there.
Thank you. Yes, 10, 11, 12, and, 12 of you here. Okay, that's enough for the call on the roll. Now, Consarn it, why is this bucket here?
For the leak? It started raining last night, like it was back when we started this class.
You're almost done. It you gotta be ready for the pop quizzes, though. Let's review some road signs, shall we? What's this one?
No left turn.
How's about this one?
Wildlife crossing.
Them's that said wildlife crossing are right. We don't call them animals while they're in the context of a civil service. Should we ask Ranger Hubert?
Please, let's don't.
How about this one?
No U-turn, except on feast days between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Fine work, except for you in the back row, lady.
Actually, I'm a man.
Whatever. Now, should we take a look at a few more crash videos?
Oh, God, please.
Seriously, I have got to convince you that driving too fast and without a seatbelt is dangerous. Now, let's see. Where's that remote control for the VCR?
Sergeant Coors, we promise not to drive too fast and to always use our seatbelts. Just don't...
Here we go. Play.
I tell you, I'm going to go ballistic if he shows us that music video featuring the crash test dummies again. They're not even real crash test dummies!
I may have to claim I'm sick and leave at lunchtime.
Look at this one. He goes over the middle divider. You think he can swing back and then... Pow! It's hit by a milk truck. That may be my favorite.
As a rich white only child of Silicon Valley millionaires, I've never had this strange, this bizarre sense before.
What sense?
Like I'm legally required to be here if I want to get out of the ticket. And so it's the law and everything, but... What Coors has done to us for the last 9 days should be, like, against the law, too.
He kills you with kindness, and himself with super big gulps.
Yes, it's hegemony in motion.
Or lack of motion in Sergeant Coors' case.
And here's another great one. That's a beautiful Mack truck right there. I wish I had me one of them. Now he sees the tricycle. Can he stop in time?
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Or rather, the mother swipes the child and the tricycle off the street. A near miss and another reminder about safety.
Sergeant Coors, I have to go to the men's room.
On scheduled breaks only, Albert.
Alfred.
And you know the funny thing about the kid on the tricycle? He was saved just to become the world's youngest smoker, who then died of euthanasia at age 12.
Don't you mean emphysema?
That's justice for you. Okay, I knew you was all hoping to hear from Lieutenant Mike today.
Oh, God, Jesus.
But he's down with the food poisoning after he ate his way through the vending machine in the hallway yesterday.
Oh, man.
So here's a pre-tape message from him about respect for the law that he taped using his brother's camera in this here VCR.
How many of these little recordings did Lieutenant Mike make?
Yeah, come to think of it, when was the last time Lieutenant Mike was here?
Was Lieutenant Mike ever here?
Think he might just be Sergeant Coors' imaginary friend?
I wouldn't put it past him.
All right, now shush up. I'm a press and play. Here we go. Now listen to Lieutenant Mac.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? I know you're like me. You'd like to get out of this place and have a cold one, right?
It's funny because he now has food poisoning.
You know, you were probably pretty afraid when you were pulled over for the traffic stop that got you here.
Not really.
I don't think it's too much.
Statistics show that over our lifetimes, 1.4 of us will be pulled over at some point by the police, but I'm here to let you know that there's nothing to worry about. There's a lot of talk today about police brutality and Black Lives Matter and Brown Lives Matter, but you'd be wrong. really, really wrong. If you thought that we were racist or anything, look at the statistics. The police is just there to do his or her job. We drive around in groups so that we always have a witness to what happens. And now we all have to wear body cams and use police car cams to document everything, so you're perfectly safe. Remember, we're here to protect you, but we wouldn't have a job unless there were other people to protect you from. So cut us a little slack, and remember, Blue Lives Matters. Catch you at the local bar.
And press stop. Any questions?
What does this political message have to do with a traffic school?
He's telling you what to do for safety during a routine traffic stop.
I didn't hear any such advice.
Me neither. Oh, and Chip fell asleep?
What? Who? You have to listen between the lines. When they're reading your rats, don't resist. Them's that resist, we know they done something wrong.
Sometimes people don't resist, and they get the taser. I've seen the YouTube videos.
Well, what do those people have to hide, I'd ask? Come on, folks, you gotta ask the critical questions.
Sergeant Coors, can I ask you a question? Sergeant, is there any amount of money that I can bribe you with to give me a passing grade for this class right now so I can leave?
Me too. If it's high enough a sum, can I go too?
Did I hear you say the word bribe?
No.
Did anyone else hear that word?
No. All of us didn't hear him say bribe.
Good. That's great. Excellent. Don't want to hear that word. What should we do next?
How about letting us go home?
Oh, wait. That was a pop quiz. The first pop quiz about the bribe, and y'all passed. Congratulations.
Thank God, finally.
Thank the spirits.
So that means I can let you go for lunch. 40 minutes, people. There's a Hardee's around the corner, and next to that, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Long John Silver's, and on the other side of the street, Zips, KFC, and the European Crepe Shoppy. That's Shoppy with two P's and a sign of E. Learned that from my last class. When we get back, identifying body parts after a collision.
I would like to thank The Mold, first of all, but also Mimi Marinucci, Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, Nisha Schramm, and Brian Lindsay.
And I would like to thank the three who make up the triad of tripodnesshood here at the station. Carrie Boyce, Vern Windham, and the only man who's not ashamed of having six toes, Brian Lindsay.